Come on, just give me some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We're going to start at the 23rd verse. There are so many things that are going on in and around our lives that try to affect who we are in God and what we're supposed to stand for. These situations that we deal with, we have to keep them under our feet, meaning that we have to walk through them nevertheless. We can't allow things to deter us or separate us from our focus in whatever God has spoken to our hearts or ministered to our spirits that we need to do to keep moving in this life. Lately, we've been, not just myself, but the other pastors, we've been dealing a lot with the writings of the epistles, because the epistles are not just books, but they're where life, they're for us and they're about us. They tell us and they teach us how we are to treat one another, how we are to love on each other, how we're supposed to care for each other, how we're supposed to lift each other up. Also, how we're supposed to bind this old nature that's in us so we can do exactly that. And it is so important that we understand these things and we get our lives in tune with this word so that we can keep everything that's not like God under subjection to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We noticed we did that message on concerning the struggle, and we are in a lot of struggles. And I need to start teaching and preaching about joy or something other than what I'm preaching, because I've seen to go through it firsthand. I guess God wants me to know exactly what I'm talking about. And most times, only time you can talk about what you've been through and know that God is keeping you is to go through it. Now, I don't wish it on anybody, but I wish and I pray that you're able to stand all the fiery darts of the enemy so that you can walk this walk the way God intends for you to walk it. As we look at the life of this man and some of the things, the things that he was fighting with, and I actually gave this one a name, Brother Andy. About 3 o'clock this morning. No pain, no glory. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, no pain, no glory. Turn to somebody else and tell them, no pain, no glory. Amen. Because the glory of God, excuse my English, ain't free. By the way, I think they just added that word ain't to the dictionary. In the 23rd verse, we hear it says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent, in debts, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice shipwrecked. Suffered shipwreck. A night and a day. I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? I burn not. These are some things that's been going through, because everybody don't like your life in God. And they, nowadays, it's so right for them to let you know. At least they feel like it is. Things, whether you recognize it or not, are changing. right before our very eyes. Well, this man was going through some stuff. But the key to the victory in his life at that time was that he knew if there was no pain, there was going to be no glory. And they ministers, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. What he's saying is I'm actually a little bit beside myself concerning this man. I am more in labors and pains, more abundant. I'm in stripes above measure. What he's saying is, everybody I run into don't like this gospel, beats me. You can understand why. You spend your time telling folks that they need to take responsibility for what they're doing. They might beat you. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm going through this. You did it. Well, you did it. Everything I go through, I've done it. I can't blame anybody but me. But I found out something that he found out, that repentance or accepting responsibility for it is a way to get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here Paul is having a fit over all this stuff that's coming against him. So he decides, I'll just let him know where I'm coming from. So he proceeds to do just that. He says, of the Jews, 5 received I 40, save 1, meaning he got 39 lashes. That was supposed to be against the law because he was a Jew. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was... He was what? I was stoned. I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day. Ooh, Lord, I would never pray for his ministry. Because then you have to go through what he went through. I have been in the deep. These words have so many meanings. I'm not going to get into them because this is just the lead into where we're going. In journeyings often, in perils of war. Now remember what these things are. Remember all these things that we're talking about, because then you'll see, you'll have a greater understanding of what it is to understand that if you don't have any pain, then you're not going to get any glory. When you see perils, it says danger. I've been in danger of robbers, in dangers by countrymen, in dangers by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in danger in the sea, in danger among false brethren. I like that part, because if you look up the word brethren in the Greek in this particular verse, it means pretending associates.
Wow.
let's put it on 2014 terms. How many folks got fake friends? They travel with you, but they don't like you. They'll eat your food, but then they'll talk about how bad it tasted. They'll get money from you and then tell somebody else they're always broke. But every time they're around you, they want to convince everybody else what a good friend you are. Paul said, I got these associates.
Man.
In weariness, in pains, and painfulness, sadness. See, folks, they want you to believe that this gospel takes away all your pain. Yeah. any trouble in your life. You'll never get tired. You'll never have pains of disgust or you'll never get discouraged. We want to tell you, but what we need to be telling folks that the gospel is good news and it'll supply your need.
Amen.
For whatever it is that you're going through. He says, I've been in all this stuff, robbers and my own countrymen and heathen and perils in the sea and dangers among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings. What he's saying is, keep awake. What he's saying is, when I'm traveling with these pretenders, I have to keep my eyes on them.
Amen.
No matter how tired I am, I'm going to keep my eyes open. And watchings often mean that's most of the time. What's the old saying? Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. I think I changed that, didn't I? I said, keep your enemies close, keep your friends closer. Them the ones you need to be watching.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody said amen real quick. In hunger and thirst, in fastings often. I'm fasting often because most times there ain't no food. I'm thirsty because all the water's gone. And once you get the sea, you can't drink salt water and you can't light a fire on the boat to distill it. So all you got is your saliva. And I've been cold and naked. Why is he naked? Because of the dangers by the heathen, by the countrymen, who would take his stuff if he actually went to sleep. But he says, and beside all them things that I'm telling you about, that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Regardless of what else I'm going through, I still have got to do what God's called me to do, and that's to be concerned about all the churches. Because they're the care of them, because of the distractions. What he's saying is, all the things that I just read are actually distractions. There are a lot of distractions in our lives. He said, but I got news for you. Who is weak? Am I not weak? I go through the same things you go through. I have to deal with the same problems you deal with. Amen. Who is offended? What he's saying is, all these things I go through, and these things which are distractions, what they try to do offend me, they try to trip me up and cause me to stumble. But yet, I burn not. What is the word burn means? To be inflamed with anger, with grief, or lust. So see, he's letting us know that this gospel didn't come by happen chance. This gospel came through trial, through tribulation, through circumstances that I experienced in my life. But I'm telling you, that you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you. So whatever it is you're going through, if you hold on, not to his hand, but if you see his face, you can make it. Better believe that. So here he is going through all this stuff. Jump down to the 12th verse, the 12th chapter. This is the message for today. No pain, no glory. 12 and 6. For though I would desire the glory, I shall not be a fool. He said, I just told you about all the stuff I was going through. And I made it, but I'm not going to glory over it. Because I'm not going to be a fool about it. It wasn't easy. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. When you tell people about your trials and your circumstances that you go through, you have to make sure you do it in humility. Because they will tend to put you on a pedestal. Already there. Might as well go there. 80% of all pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, and teachers are sitting on their own throne. In fact, that God has blessed us and we bless you. So in respect, we expect you to go above and beyond the call of duty.
Come on, Pastor.
To keep my throne clean. But folks are getting understanding and knowledge. And you ain't the king. But see, I like what he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, over exalted. I don't want you to exalt me. I don't want you to look to me. I want you to look to Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith.
That's right.
Anything you do, you throw it through him,
right,
for him, and by him. Amen. Therefore, that's why it says don't put your trust in the arm of flesh.
Come on now.
We go to our churches and we trust in the word that we hear from the different ministers, and then we send our money to Pennsylvania. That's what he thought. He's dealing with all of this. I come and I labor at your churches, and then you argue about giving me something, food to eat. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty, I need clothing, and you argue about it, but you'll send it to somebody else that ain't here with you.
Come on, God. Come on now.
It's warm in here. I don't want to be exalted. And I refuse to exalt myself through the abundance of the revelation. Remember, it was Paul that gave you the revelation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It was this man that said that God is now making it known that you might know the mysteries of the gospel. It's this man that told you that the gospel is Jesus. That's the good news. That he is your way, your truth, and your life.
Amen.
That's good news to me.
Amen.
But yet here he is, he's suffering. He's discouraged and he's broken. But yet strong in God. Well, you can't be weak and be strong. Yes, you can. You can be half dead and still be strong in Jesus. Ask me how I know. God gonna work through you anyway. Here he is talking about above. I don't want to be exalted above measure through the abundance because of all the knowledge that I have ascertained that God has blessed me with. The excellence of this knowledge, this revealed knowledge that God has given me. What he says from Romans all the way through in every book that I've written these letters from has been a revelation from God. God has took what I've already studied and brought it to a light. So that you through this word might latch onto it and not be moved by every wind and doctrine, that you through this word might realize in spite of your circumstances, you can keep it moving. That you might realize in spite of your trips and your falls and your agonies, you can still trust in God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, my Lord, thank you, Jesus. But he said, well, Lord, I don't know, none of y'all never been here. I have something to bear with you. I have a slight problem, a slight situation concerning the storm. That is in my flesh. Most folks don't want to admit that they have a thorn. I got a few. And they hurt. Amen. You ever just woke up and told the Lord, you know what? Okay, Lord. Enough is enough. Remind him of his own word. I've been faithful in a few things. Where's the much? All right, Lord, you can look at my front and my back and see the cross.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you think it's about time you come to my rescue? How many can honestly say they never got an answer? Never got an answer. Still waiting today. I've even tried early in the morning, my brother, because I know God moves early. I still didn't get a word. I said, well, maybe I'll try late at night. I still didn't get a word. Well, how about we try noonday? High noon. God said, look out the window. I looked out the window. The sun was shining. I said, okay, what that mean? I'm looking. I see the sun is shining. It's still cold outside. He said, that's me in your heart and in your spirit. And if you allow me to shine forth as that sun is shining, I'll produce a spirit of peace in your life that passes all your understanding.
Come on now.
I'll create an atmosphere in your mind where you can see those things that are not, and then you can start calling them into existence. You got to do is let me have my way.
Come on.
Okay. He said, but I have a problem, Lord. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. I mean, he didn't say God gave him the thorn. If you pay close attention and you really dive into the word given, it has some very flexible meanings. There was given, or there was provided for me, or there was created for me. A thorn. And he tells you where it's at. Where is it at? In his flesh. Then it goes on to say, the messenger of who? I don't know about in your Bible, but in my Bible, the S is capitalized. Meaning that it's not talking about Slewfoot. It's not talking about Slewfoot. If it was talking about Slewfoot, the S would have been a small letter. Because that's how much God thinks about him. But the S is a large print of S. Because what he's saying is the word thorn, the translation in the Greek, is bodily annoyance or disability. So you mean to tell me this man who calls spirits out of people at long range, cuts up his shirts, ships them out, and folks receive healing from a shirt that don't have no power in it, The same man that preaches this gospel and wrote all these books, the same man, he tell me he got a disability. And he got a bodily annoyance. What's wrong with this picture? They told you got to be healthy to teach the word. Right. You got to be strong and courageous in order to work for God. But I remember God telling Joshua, okay, Josh, listen to me. You need to be very strong and very courageous. Another paragraph down to Debbie says, Joshua, I said to be strong and very courageous. Well, did he hear God or not? Because God decided to tell him again. Three times he told him. Because we have a problem of hearing God when there's a situation in front of us.
Yeah. All right. Come on now. Yeah.
Amen.
Paul was saying, somebody gave it to me. Pastor Keys, did you give me this thorn in my flesh? Pastor Relifer, did you assist in giving me this thorn that's in my flesh? How about you, Brother Little John? Did you give it? Did you mail it to me? UPS must have dropped it off. Brother Andy, did you send me this thorn in one of those CDs? Oh, man. See, this is almost like the garden when Jesus made the statement, Father, it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If you pay close attention to what he's saying, he said, Lord, it was given to me. But the word the word thorn means bodily annoyance or a disability. So it wasn't given to him. Oh, y'all think I'm not talking to the man of God.
Come on now.
But I'm just putting it in perspective.
Yeah.
He says, the messenger of Satan, let's read, there was a given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Well, my God. The word Satan there is translated adversary or the accuser. Most of the time I get accused, it's from within me, telling me you ain't never going to mount to nothing. You can't do this. You're not going to make it. And if it ain't good enough, there'll be a thorn in your flesh. I got a thorn in my flesh. Don't go there now. Amen. When you least expect it, there'll be a problem. You see these fingers right here? I can't feel nothing in them. Can't feel nothing in them. They're not dead because I can move them. But I can't feel nothing to the touch. Baby, I jumped up and ran to the hospital yesterday morning, didn't I? I thought I was having a heart attack. Whatever it is, it was so much pressure and pain that it came all around into my chest, around my chart area. And then once I get there, I'm ready to go. You know, First Lady threatened me, you better not leave. So I'm sitting there grumbling to myself now. I could have did this at home. I could have been in pain at home. And God reminded me of something I said. You don't know what to pray for until you first know what the problem is.
Amen.
Seeing that you done tried to diagnose it yourself and ain't figured it out, how about we get just a little help?
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, I got a thorn. It was given to me, a thorn in my flesh. And the the messenger of Satan came to buffet me. Hell, glory. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm buffeted. But then you may not be. You may not be buffeted. You may not be attacked or accused or persecuted or in conflict or afflicted. You just may not be. But here he is. He having a day. He done talked about all this stuff over here in the 11th verse, in the 11th chapter. And now he's dealing with this thing in his flesh, which is a bodily annoyance or a disability. Now, we all know that Paul was a huge man. You think being shipwrecked, not eating a lot, not having water, he would be thin. But he eat a lot more than what he's telling in this Bible. Because he was not thin. The body has a way of projecting into your body sickness. To afflict you. Ain't no devil making my fingers tingle. It's a nerve. How many hear me? Where is this nerve? In my body. Who controls this nerve? My body. Well, glory. I'm about to close out. Because I can see y'all ain't liking this much. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I raise myself up over or become haughty because of the knowledge that I have ascertained. God's got a way of humbling you. Baby, I've been there. When God first started teaching me this message about the old nature of the flesh, baby, you couldn't tell me nothing. It didn't matter what nobody preached. It wasn't right. They weren't preaching the word the way God intended for them to preach. Because I was here. I mean, mama, I'm standing, I'm tall. I'm 5'9", 5'10", but I'm taller than that. Because God done gave me something. He done gave me knowledge and understanding, a revelation about an old man that has the ability to afflict, discourage, and break you down. I'm here, I'm a man. I got this. The heartbeat, stop preaching that stuff. Nobody want to hear that stuff about angels. He ought to preach some of this word God gave me. I told y'all, he caught me in that hallway one day. He said, let me tell you something, son. I love you. I don't care nothing about your abilities. I only care about your faithfulness. It hurt, but I shook it off. Because I'm here. And he don't know what he's talking about. He's just jealous. He done heard me preach this word. Now he done got jealous. I'm self-exalting myself. Well, let me tell you how God works. You ever heard where the Bible where it says he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind? We look at that as being spiritual, but it's actually physical. Yeah. What he actually does is turn your haughtiness over to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
the very thing that he had revealed in me and taught me to teach me a very valuable lesson. You're still human, boy. And you're still subject to flaws. And you will make mistakes. And you're going to have to come back crawling to me when you realize that it's me in you that reveals myself through you. And you don't have nothing to do with it. All you are a mouthpiece.
Come on now. Man. Come on now.
Amen. Paul said, but this is the gospel according to Paul. The gospel of Paul. It was his gospel. It was his. But he paid for it. So did I. This is my gospel, Pastor Keys. Ain't nobody teaching this nowhere. You know what afflicted me? My flesh. It was given to me. A thorn in the flesh. And the accuser and the afflicter showed up on the scene and began to work his magic. Showed me how I could take the word of God and manipulate it to fit my own needs. But then the bottom dropped out and I found myself in a pit like Joseph. After a while, after I started on this tumble, just tumbling, reaching out to grab stuff, and when I grabbed it, it broke. When I tried to grab on the folks, they moved. Because you know what folks know? When you stink. And we can get so self-exalted, so haughty in our spirits, that we begin to stink. And the problem is the only person who don't smell it is us. If you can't smell yourself, you in big trouble. He said, exalted to be above men. But for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. God said, hold on. That's my built-in mechanism to keep you in the subjection and realize all you are and all you do is by me.
Amen. Amen.
It's by me. Because I'm the only wise God. Listen to me. Why do you think he wrote that 7th chapter of Romans? When I try to do good, evil is always present. I found out that there's another law other than the law of God that is operating in my members, seeking to destroy me and separate me, seduce me in the missing God.
For he is the accuser of the brother, the one, the first man, Adam.
And he is in the midst of the brethren to accuse them. He is the thorn. He is the one who has caused you to be disabled. But I have come to give you life. I have come to give you my knowledge and my wisdom. Seek me and ye shall find me, that ye might overcome. That even though you are in danger of the situations that you are in, you shall overcome. Did not Paul overcome? Did he not complete his course? Did he not say that a crown of righteousness was laid up for him? But I caused him to move from point to point by encouraging him, even in the midst of the danger. And I shall encourage you by my word. I shall instruct you by my word that you may overcome in spite of the old man, in spite of the thorn. Ye shall overcome. Ye shall endure. Ye shall abide. For I am with you, and I am in there with you. Therefore, fear not the thorn. Fear not the messenger. Fear not the old man. Fear not the disability. Fear not the shortcomings, for you shall overcome, for I have overcome. I overcame the world, and I pass that ability on to you, that you might be overcome. Ye are overcomers, saith the Lord.
Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are overcomers in Christ. Amen. Glory to God. So this messenger has been sent to buffet, lest I should be exalted above measure. I realize that it's that old man in me that's afflicting me, trying to make me think I'm better than what God ordained that I was supposed to be. But I'm not going to fall for it, because I sought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Not once did he answer me. But I realized something, that the very word that's judging me is the very word that I have to stand on. Yeah. So now I understand that the grace.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Come on now.
Is sufficient for me. You know, we quote that for God's grace, but it's not God's grace. It's the word of grace that's in his life. The word that's in my life is more than enough to get me through whatever thing I'm going through. The accusations and the accuser, the old man, I realize something, that I can do all things through Christ that liveth and abideth in me. All I've got to do is get up, shake the dust off my feet, and stand on this word and fight the good fight of faith. Remember, after all he's been through, he said, I've got news for you. I fought a good fight. I done run a good race. Now I'm ready.
Come on now.
I've been discouraged, but I'm ready. I've been broken, but I'm ready. I've been shipwrecked, but I'm ready. I got a thorn that stays with me in my flesh, but I'm still ready, because I'm an overcomer through Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I fought and I ran. But I wasn't running from nobody. I was running to God.
Yes, 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 yes.
I found out something. When you go through these things, this thorn will make you seek God. The thorn arrests itself or manifests itself in so many different ways. Amen. Sister Harvey used to think it was funny. She used to call me Job. And there was times I felt like Job. Just go from one mess to the next. But I realized something, Sister Norma, that in the midst of all these messes, I was growing, because I was running after God. Because I realized I could no longer do it by myself. I needed him to move in my life. This morning, when I was getting ready to come to church, I said, you know what? I'm going to just tell Pastor Relish to go ahead and do the service. So I got up and I started reading that word. And I got to study. And when I got to reading over this, I said, you know what? I'm not going to let him defeat me like that. In spite of all this, God is still great.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
He said, oh, you've been reading all this stuff. You saw what he went through. You saw what he had to deal with on a daily basis. But yet he still did what? It says he did what? On a daily basis, he cared for the churches. In spite of all the hell, the trial, the tribulation, the circumstance, even the thorn that was in his flesh, he did what he had to do for the kingdom of God, because he knew that the only thing that's important is what you do for Christ.
That's right. Amen.
That's it. My God, he said, for this thing, unto me, grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength. Why? Because he realized the grace is in Jesus. Christ is that grace, and it's in him. In the hope of glory, it's in him. The mystery that he revealed in him, my hope is in me. And if my hope is in me, so is the grace that I need. So therefore, my strength, my dunamis, that dunamis means the power and the ability to reproduce life. So in spite of all these things, I still have the ability to reproduce life in my life. So I understand that, that what I have is more than enough.
Hallelujah.
It's not less, it's more than enough. For my strength is made perfect in my weakness. Lord, I'm tired, but I'm going to keep moving. Lord, I done got weary, but I'm going to stay strong. Lord, I've been discouraged, but I've learned to encourage myself. Lord, I'm not feeling good in my body today, but I'm not going to stop me. Let it stop me from doing what you called me to do. Lord, my finances ain't right, but I still believe and trust that you're going to provide and meet all my needs. All these things that are going toward and happening in and around my life, I still have faith and trust in you because the grace that's in you, your love is more than enough that I need so that I can overcome every obstacle. I'm still trying to get with this part. Therefore, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities. The word infirmity there, it means to be feeble in your body. So even though I may be sick in my body, he said, I'm afflicted. I'm going to glory in it. And the word glory actually means I'm going to be strong in it. I got troubles, but I will be strong in them. There's persecution and accusations and affliction, but I'm going to be strong in them. I may be scantily clothed and not have enough food, but I'm going to be strong in it. My domestic life, things are not right in my life, but I'm going to be strong in you, Lord.
This is
what he was saying. You got to same thing. When he wrote this letter to them, he was letting them know that stop complaining and bellyaching about what you're going through. You're not the only one. I've been there where I didn't want it. I was tired. I was tired of being sick and I was tired of being hungry. I was tired of being thirsty and I was tired of people talking about me and I was tired of trouble on my job and trouble in my home. I was tired. But I realized, I heard the word of God say, for love conquers a multitude of sin. And seeing that I was born into sin and that sin nature is still in me, the love of God that's in me is far greater than that.
Amen.
So now I can glory, be strong in all my feebleness, that the power, the dunamis power of Christ may rest within me. So all that you go through is for God to create in you who he wants you to be. That's why Paul said so much in the Bible, count it all joy.
Amen.
Therefore, I take pleasure. Wow. He had to really see God. He had to see God. At this point in his life is the point where he stopped holding God's hand and started looking into his eyes. And when he looked into the eyes of God and God allowed him to go down into the depths of who he is, he saw himself. And when he saw himself, he knew God had him in his bosom. So guess where he was? He was abiding in the secret place of the Most High. Where are you this morning? got problems, things you're going through, things you're experiencing. A lot of them you can't talk to anybody about, and you keep it to yourself. And the hurting feeling is that there is no one you can talk to about it. But I got news for you. Talk to Jesus. He may not talk back the way you want him to talk back, but he'll talk. I keep waiting on God to give me an audible voice, but he is. His word is the audible.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I go through all this stuff, and I can glory in it. Paul said, because I know that it's working in me and for me. Because our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price.
Amen.
We've been bought with a price. So therefore, he took pleasure in his infirmities, his reproaches, his necessities, his persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. Because he realized that when he got to his weakest moment, he was actually at his strongest moment. Because he got to a point in his life where he realized, I got all this knowledge and this understanding and this power with God, but I still got to know him. And I'm going to know him in the power of his resurrection. So that I can be resurrected in my spirit and in my flesh. Because there's no greater God. No greater God than our God.
Amen.
So whatever we're going through, whatever we're experiencing, we have to keep our faith intact. And we cannot be moved by sight. But we have to keep our faith in God. The only way you can keep your faith in him is by standing on his word. And you can't stand on it if you're not reading or studying it. I've learned to take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. What this does is take you all the way back to the 11th chapter when he was talking about being shipwrecked and been without food and been accused and beaten by his own countrymen and beaten by perils and all kind of stuff he went through. He's letting you know right there that in spite of he'd do it again if he had to, for Christ's sake. You may not be happy that you're going through what you're going through. I'm not. But I determined that I can do all things in Christ that enables me to. Amen. So we got to get ourselves up and get ourselves moving. It takes more to have faith than to sit there and let it work on you.
Amen.
You got to make yourself busy.
Amen.
You got to be about the Father's desires and his wills. Lord, somebody gave me this stone, but I determined by the word that you placed in my life that I can take pleasure and I can glory in it. Because one thing it cannot do is separate me from the love of God. You may persecute me, but you can't separate me from God. I may be afflicted, but you can't separate me from God. I may be hurt and discouraged and broken, but you can't separate me from God. That conclusion is drawn from the very power of the word that is in your life. Nothing is going to separate me. And most importantly, not me.
Amen. Amen.
Not me. To my ideas and my principles. Things I will not allow myself to separate me from where God is trying to take me. I like what Reverend Graham said when she was praying this morning. It jumped out at me. Father, catapult us into our destiny.
Amen.
That's what this is all about. Father, I know everything that I went through, everything that I did, all of it was part of your will for my life, so that I can get to this point now that I realize that the grace, which is the love of God that is in me, is more than enough to get me through what I'm going through and allow me to see that it is all worked out for my good, because I'm the called of God. And because it's working out for my good, I can keep it moving. And I can keep being a blessing to those that are going through the same things that I'm going through. Because my God is great in me than I am in this world. So you got to tell that old joker, you don't have no power here.
Amen.
You don't have no power here. My power is in Christ. So then I know when I am weak in me, I'm strong in the Lord. Because of who God is, in that I'm His Son. And that's what's important, that I'm His Son.
Amen.
For my sons and my daughters, think it not strange the fiery trials that you are being subjected to. Whether your trial is in the spirit, or whether it's with your finances, or whether it's with your body or in your homes or in your jobs, know that I am a God that is more than capable to provide the blessing that you have need of. I can get in the center of a storm and give you strength to stand in that storm and lift your eyes up towards heaven and see the sun shining through the dark clouds. For I am that God, and I am He that was and is to come, and I shall manifest myself in your life. For I am recreating myself in this earth. I'm recreating you in love and in peace and in joy and in goodness and compassion and long-suffering. Therefore, you shall stand upon the promise of God, not wavering, not giving up, because you know in your weakest hours, that's when you're your strongest, because that's when you call upon me, and I will come unto thee, and I shall strengthen thee, and I shall fortify thee, that you might stand, therefore, and gird up your loins, amen, and put on the helmet of faith, and understand that I am your breastplate of righteousness, and none of these things shall separate you or penetrate that which I have brought forth in this day. So I say unto my children, praise and worship me, that I might have something to dwell in the midst of your praise. I will dwell in it, and I will give you strength beyond measure, for the supernatural shall manifest itself in you, and you shall see those things that I have already promised you, and you shall move forward toward them, not looking back. Therefore, my children, understand that I am with you, and I am for you, and I will fight for you. Therefore, resist not the temptation of praying and worshiping me in the spirit because of what is going on in your flesh. Therefore, glorify me, saith the Lord, and lift up holy hands and call upon my name, and I will answer you and do great and mighty things on your behalf, saith God. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. No pain, no glory.